Would you all pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every day is full of choices. Before I've gotten to work, I have made dozens of decisions. Some small. What mug will I put my coffee in? Will we take the 39 or risk it on the orange line? Some persistently annoying. What will I wear? Why do so few of my dresses have pockets for my microphone? Some make up the rituals of my life such that I barely even notice them. First the kettle on, then grind the beans. Measure them out, then pour over the coffee, stir, and wait. Our lives are made up of thousands of small choices and a few really big ones. Each decision that we make, we weigh our values and our needs, convenience and cost to self, justice and care for others. And sometimes we wonder, am I on the right track? How will I know? Are we together on the right track? We have been talking for the past few weeks about sources of authority, those places and bodies of knowledge by which we know what we know, that shape the decisions that we make. For us Christians, the Bible has a primary place in how we know what we know. It is more of a library than a single book. It is poetry and prose, biography and history, metaphor and letters. It holds the horrors of history, stories of genocide and war and ruthless revenge. It also holds some of the most beautiful poems ever written, testimonies of God's ever-expanding love. The Bible is a witness to God's work throughout history, interpreted by people over time. We make decisions about how we read the Bible, what we emphasize and what we let pass, what translations we use and what interpretations we make of those translations. And our Christian interpretations have not been perfect. Too much blood has been spilled over a book meant to hold the teachings of a God whose top 10 request of us was not to kill each other. Theologian Wendy Farley writes, "The way we treat one another is the most visible fruit of faith. If we fail here, we fail everywhere." And church, we have failed one another. The words of Scripture have been weaponized, wounding the body of Christ. The church has silenced some of our best spirits, destroyed lives and communities through clumsy readings of ancient texts, and scared contempt for the ongoing revelation of the Spirit of God, who is always bigger than our small minds. And yet there is power within Scripture, power to heal us and reveal our place in God's story, power to inspire us to become the next wave of God's history of liberation. Long at Old South have we said that we take the Bible seriously, but not literally. We devote serious resources and attention to the study of Scripture, learning its histories and interpretations, studying original languages and the ever-unfolding meaning. And we trust that through study and through devotion, God is molding our hearts and our minds with this sacred and ancient text. We don't read it alone. Scripture, experience, tradition, and reason, each of those things inform our lives. They shape what we know to be true and the decisions we make. We hold each of these sources of authority in balance with one another. We study the words of Scripture, listening in them for the word of God. We pay heed to science and philosophy, logic and creativity, searching within these fields of study for the revelation of the holy. We take notice of our own lives, watching in them for the movements of the Spirit. We learn the teachings of our traditions, mining them for when they led to freedom and when they didn't. And then we make choices. We make choices about when to weigh one over the other. We make choices about what to believe and what to act on, how to live. And when it comes to it, those choices make up the whole of our lives. And so how will we know that we've chosen right? How will we know if we've followed the right teachings or the wrong ones, or if we've strayed from the path entirely? Matthew 7:16 tells us, "You will know them by their fruit." The text comes to us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus is talking about how to discern between real and false prophets. And Jesus instructs the people, "You will know them by their fruit." Later, Paul writes that the fruits of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We who are Christians, we long to live lives that will bear good fruit, lives that bring about transformation, lives that heal, lives that lead to lasting joy for us and for our people. We at Old South, we pray to be a church that bears good fruit, a church that is always pointing past our own institution toward God themselves. A church where peace reigns and where goodness spreads like wild vines out of these doors and into the city. A church that centers the kind of justice that remembers Christ's body, that brings back in and then puts at the center those who the church has driven away throughout history. The queer, the poor, the immigrant, the unhoused, the chronically ill. We long to be a church that knows we cannot be the body of Christ without them. We want to be a church that changes the lives of not only our members, but the life of the city itself. We want to be a church that makes a difference. And they will know us by our fruit. Right now, in this wild election year of 2024, people are paying attention. People are paying attention to you, they are paying attention to me, to us, to Christians, about how to live in this fractious and fearful time. People are paying attention. They are looking to see what sort of fruit our lives are bearing. They are looking to see what sort of fruit the church can bear. And what they find, well, that's up to us. In every choice that we make, in how we show up in our neighborhoods and in our families, as we set priorities for mission and for ministry right here at Old South, as we reach out beyond the walls of our church into a city so deeply in need of hope, a city hungry for the good fruit that is growing right here at 645 Boylston Street. And if we want to bear good fruit, if we want to give people who are paying attention something worthwhile to sink their teeth into, then we're going to need to root and root deeply into the truth, into the rich soil of God's all-encompassing, ever-expanding love, rooting down into the truth of God's love so that we might bear good fruit for a hungry world. Amen.